I want to invite your attention to the Gospel of John in the 4th chapter and share with you a message I've entitled, I'm Thirsty. I'm Thirsty. In John chapter 4, we're going to read the first 7 verses, and while we'll make reference to several other parts of the narrative that follow, we're going to focus our attention in the beginning on the first 7 verses. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, I'm certain that you would agree with me and you would understand tonight when I say that in our culture, in Russellville, Arkansas, United States of America, in the year 2019, in our culture today, most people have no idea what it means to truly be thirsty. Not in a physical sense, but I would challenge you with this thought. There's probably people all around you who are thirsty in other ways. They're craving something. There's a hole in their heart. There's something missing in their lives that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can satisfy. Amen. If you looked up the word thirsty in the dictionary, this is the definition or the kind of definition you would find. A craving. A craving of some sort. And we understand what that means, a craving of some sort. To have something missing. And something needy in our lives. And to do whatever is necessary. To go to whatever lengths are possible to satisfy that craving, that thirsting in our hearts and in our lives. So while we in this culture today may not fully appreciate a physical thirst, we certainly know people, maybe someone in this building tonight, is experiencing a spiritual, emotional, intellectual thirsting of some sort. And the answer to your dilemma is today what it was in John chapter 4. And that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please? And let's read John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now let's watch, beginning of verse 4. And he, that is Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. You know that that statement has struck a chord from that day until now, because that was very odd, that Jesus would need to go through Samaria. Strange as it was nonetheless true. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. You may be seated. I'm thirsty. And in trying to satisfy that thirst, our world today will search for anything and everything they can to plug into that hole, to stuff into that chasm, to fill that void that they're experiencing in their life. Let's think about this lady, this woman who met Jesus at the well of Samaria that day. 3 things I want you to think about. There's 1,000 things we could talk about, but 3 things I want you to think about. And as we think about these 3 things, I want you to think about the world that's around you. I want you to think about the coworkers you'll go to work with tomorrow. I want you to think about the classmates you'll see in school tomorrow. I want you to think about the neighbors that will rest tonight in the same neighborhood that you live. I want you to think about your friends and your family, your loved ones that you'll be celebrating the holidays with in the next few days and few weeks. 3 things about this woman. Number 1, she was an outsider. She was an outsider. And we know this because, number 1, she was at the well at the wrong time of the day. And by all indications, she was at the well by herself. And by the way, those are 2 things that tell us something about the woman. Normally, she would have been at the well in the morning hours. But she was there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. And according to Scripture, she was there alone. Because most of the time, women would go to the well in groups. Family groups, neighborhood groups, whatever kind of groups. But they would accompany one another. And it would be something of a joyous occasion. This woman found herself at the well in the middle of the day by herself, sitting there. And you can imagine her loneliness her neediness, her wantonness. There she is. And the next thing we notice about this woman is that she was thirsty. Well, of course she was. That's where she was hoping to find the answer to her thirst. She was there at the well, thirsty. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus met her there, He gives her living water. Now, the narrative stops with verse 7, where we read just a moment ago, where Jesus asked her, "Give me to drink." But you remember the narrative goes on, and in verse number 14, Jesus says that I am the living water. I am where you will get satisfying water. I'm where you will get eternal water, and you will never thirst again. So we know that this woman who came to the Samaritan well, meeting the Lord there, was an outsider. She probably wasn't well respected. She probably wasn't greatly admired. She probably wasn't attached to a lot of people in her community. She was thirsty. She had a need. She found the answer to her need in this relationship that she would find with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something else going on here. It's at this moment in time that Jesus strikes up a conversation with this woman. And in this conversation, He touches on something that I think maybe has been overlooked in some of our biblical studies. He asks her about her husband. You remember that part of the story? He asks her about her husband, and she says to Him, "Lord, I don't have a husband." Right? And then the Lord confirms that and affirms that by saying, "No, you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had a lot of husbands, and the guy you're living with," this is Arkansas language, "the guy you're living with now is not your husband," right? You know the story. We can surmise from that this. This woman has been trying to fill a need, a hole, a vacancy, and a void in her life for a long, long time. She's tried this relationship and it didn't work. That relationship and it didn't work. The next relationship didn't fulfill her. The next relationship didn't satisfy her. The next relationship did not complete her. You see what I'm saying? She's been through all of these relationships. These are constant, continual efforts to fill a void. People that we live with today are going through the same struggles. They're looking for answers because they got problems. They've got these huge holes in their life and in their heart, and they're stuffing everything they can into that hole, just hoping against hope that something, somewhere, someone is going to satisfy their need. And you know what? Time after time after time after time, they're coming away empty and lonely and needy and wanting because they have not yet found the only one who can satisfy their need and their hole in their life. Here's a lady who is, by all accounts, an outsider. She's not respected. She's not admired. She's not appreciated among her own people. She's gone through a series of events to try to satisfy her soul, to try to feel her need, to try to complete her in some way. And that's what a lot of people are trying to do. I'm just trying to find the person that completes me. I just need this thing, whatever it is, to satisfy, to complete me. And she's left every one of those relationships with something lacking and something wanting. And there's a third thing about this woman that I want you to remember. As this narrative goes on, we get down to verse number 20. And Jesus brings up this thing about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You remember that? And her statement, you remember? Her statement is, "Well, our people worship here," right? "But your people worship down there in Jerusalem." Remember that? I'm sure we can agree on this, that at this point in her life, she was also confused. You know, I know people like that, don't you? I can name the people who will say, "Now, Brother Roger, you say that this is the way to go to heaven. But I say that this is the way to go to heaven," right? "Brother Roger, you say that this is the way to find favor with God. But I think that this is the way to find favor with God." Here's a woman who's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and her reaction to the Lord is, "Well, you say you're supposed to worship here, but we say you're supposed to worship there." Now, Jesus goes on, and it's in this part of the narrative when He says God wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And if you're going to truly, honestly, sincerely worship God, it's not about where you worship God, it's about how you worship God. Having said that, let's just remind ourselves, she's confused. Now, do you live in that kind of a world? Where people around you are outsiders, outcast? They feel like they don't belong. They say, well, you know, I don't look like you. Can I go there? My family doesn't look like your family. Can I be part of that group? Listen, everywhere you go, there are people in the world where you exist who find themselves questioning, are they accepted? Can they be loved? Is there a place for me? Do you even care? Well, if you're a child of the Lord God Almighty, the answer is yes. You should care. You better care. Because the mandate is to love people the way God loved them. And to treat people the way God treated them. And Jesus did not shy away from this well and this woman. No, in fact, He sat down beside her. As odd as that was, it's a strange thing. Listen, it's a strange thing for a Jew to be talking to a Samaritan, period. It's a strange thing for a Jewish man to be talking to another woman, period. It's an incredibly odd thing for a Jewish man to be talking to a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day when nobody else is there watching. Do people know how much you care? Because listen, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Jesus set aside the model. Jesus set aside the normal. Jesus set aside the average so He could communicate with this woman and meet her at her need. She was not like Him, but she had a need only Jesus Christ could satisfy. And He was not afraid to approach that. You live in the same world where there are people with needs that only Christ can satisfy. They are thirsty. They are craving something. They're trying to stuff things into this hole. It may be the next business deal. It may be the next house. It could be the next relationship. It could be a thousand things. But they're stuffing. They're cramming stuff into a hole in their heart. And like a big vacuum, it's just going. And it's sucking them dry. Because that stuff will never satisfy their soul. And they live all around us. And there are people who live around us that are completely confused. They are spiritually ignorant. They do not have a clue. But you do. You know the answer, don't you? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Listen, you are plan A. Pardon my grammar. There ain't no plan B. Did you hear that? You are plan A, and there is no plan B. So that brings us to this. What did Jesus do? Jesus did two very simple things that you and I have to do. Number one, He met her where she was. It's so simple, isn't it? And it gets overlooked. Jesus said, as odd as it was, I described to you a moment how strange it was that Jesus would be talking to this woman. Do you remember the rest of the story when the disciples came back? He had sent them into town. You remember that part of the story, Brother Doug? When the disciples came back, you know what they said? Why are you talking to her? They thought it was strange too. You know what Jesus thought? She's got a problem. And I know the answer. So He met her where she was. Listen, step number one in you reaching people for Jesus Christ is you got to go out there and meet them. They're probably not going to walk through your living room. They're probably not going to stumble across your desk at work. They're probably not going to fall in your lap, as we would say in a proverbial sense. So you're going to have to make an effort and go out there and meet them. That's what Jesus did. Number one, He met them. Number two, you ready? This one's just as profound as the last one. Newsflash. He talked to her. That's how the gospel gets disseminated. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. Now listen, I've got my brother, God bless him. I love my brother. He thought he'd done the greatest thing. And it's pretty cool. My brother bought me a t-shirt out of the blue. My brother never buys me anything out of the blue. Barely buys me something for Christmas. He bought me a t-shirt, brought it to me, presented it to me this weekend at my mom and dad's house. He was so proud of it. Look at it, Brother Roger. Put it on, man. Wear it tonight. Don't stuff it in a suitcase. We want to see you sport this new t-shirt. You know what it said? It said, "Not today, Satan." He was so proud of himself. Hey, I like wearing a good witness wear t-shirt. I like wearing t-shirts that tell my story of my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? Wearing a t-shirt does not make you a Great Commission Christian. I didn't think I'd get too many amens on that one. But I'm going to say it again. Wearing a t-shirt does not make you a Great Commission Christian. Listen to me. I say this with my heart. At some point, you have to talk to them. You got to tell them. You have to sit down and have a conversation with them. And that's what Jesus did. He told them. He told her what her need was and where she could find answers to her problems. He comforted her. Now, yeah, he pointed at her sin. But that's part of the conversation, right? For all is sin to come short of the glory of God, and we have to repent of our sin. We have to turn from our sin. So pointing out her sin was not to condemn her. Pointing out her sin was to save her. She had to be saved from her sin. So he had to talk to her. And he gave her living water. Living water. I'm reminded of a great verse of Scripture in Psalm 42, verse number 1. "As the deer panteth after the brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." I think there's probably a lot of people that live around us that we communicate with and meet every day in life's byways and highways who are panting after. They're longing for, they're looking for, they're trying to find something, somewhere, somehow, someone to fill a vacancy in their life that only God can fill. They just don't know God can answer their problem. And they are like the deer at a brook panting after the Lord God. I love the lyrics to an old song we used to sing and hear sung from time to time. The title of the song was "Satisfied." Maybe some of you remember this. The lyrics go, "Oh, hallelujah, I have found Him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through His blood, I now am saved." That's a great lyric, isn't it? My soul is longing for only that which the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy and fulfill. There are people all around us who are thirsty. They're craving spiritual satisfaction. People we need to engage with the gospel. People who need the living waters that only Jesus Christ can provide. But listen, the truth remains, somebody has to go out and meet them. Someone has to go talk to them. Someone must tell them where and how their thirst can be quenched. Christians, it's time that we do His will and finish His work. That's what Jesus said in verse 34 of John 4. He said, "My meat is to do the will of the one that sent me and to finish His work." Today, that duty falls to us to do God's will, to finish His work. Verse 35 goes on to say, "Lift up your eyes, for the fields are white already unto harvest." In other words, it's time today to get started. So don't make excuses. Don't offer excuses. Don't look for excuses. Go to work. Do you see people the way God sees people? Do you treat people the way God treats people? Do you love people the way God loves people? For all those folks in our lives probably have in common the same things that this lady had. She was looking for something to satisfy her soul. She was asking the wrong questions. She was talking to the wrong people. And she probably felt very, very alone. There's people like that in your life too, I'll bet. Or maybe tonight you're that person. You're the person who came in here tonight and you thought to yourself, I think I'm that woman. Well, here's the deal. Of all the things that we learn about this woman in John chapter 4, one thing we do not learn is her name. We do not know who she is. So it's possible it is you. It's possible that God brought you here tonight to hear this message that Jesus can satisfy your soul. And if you're looking for answers that you hadn't found yet, if you're trying to stuff things in a hole that cannot be filled, if you're confused about what's going on in this spiritual dimension, and if you feel like you're all alone, outcast, by yourself, and no one cares, I tell you, Jesus cares. And I believe the people of this church care. And this pastor cares. And if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will have the satisfaction that only a relationship with Almighty God can provide. Think about it. God, the Creator of the universe, wants to have a personal relationship with you. With you. He wants to have that. He put inside of you an interest, a desire, a burden to have that relationship. And you can have that tonight if you'll trust Him and accept Him as Lord of your life and Savior of your soul. Will you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father God in heaven, thank You for our time, the blessings that You give. Thank You for this privilege and opportunity to share with Victory Missionary Baptist Church the things of our missionaries and this incredibly important message. I pray that it finds lodging in each of our hearts, challenges and encourages and convicts us as we go about our business for the cause of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray it in Christ's name.